From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher. Good morning.
Yeah, very good morning, Mike. Consumer confidence, we got any?
Well, you got a bit. Actually, that big housing announcement today, Mike, I'm looking forward to that. But will it impact on confidence? That's the interesting question. Will it impact
on
confidence,
mate? Andrew, how dull is your life that you're fizzing about a housing announcement?
I don't want to go there. I like inflation. I mean, you know, it says it all, doesn't it? You know, confidence. Let's talk about confidence, Mike. Confidence numbers are one of my favourite indicators because they're forward-looking. They're not rear vision mirror stuff. So they give you an idea where the economy may go. So this was the Westpac McDermott Miller consumer confidence number. Now, the context here, Mike, is we're getting a bit of a plateau in the recent data outcomes. And if you look at those recent numbers, things like credit card spending, business outlook, they've all been somewhat presaged by what we now know was going on with growth in the last quarter of last year, and that we were going backwards. So the economy isn't really firing at the moment. But of course, to some degree, the rampant property market tends to sort of cloud that observation because everyone says, well, the housing market is great, so everything's great, you know, happy times, you know. And we're getting extraordinary numbers in residential property, but consumer confidence, let's have a look at that. It's high frequency, so we need to look for trends. I don't think we have that just yet, but confidence edged down in March, and it remains at below average levels. So the long run average on this indicator is 109.9, March 105.2. And since it's very interesting numbers within the numbers, Mike, interesting divergence across different age groups, confidence is much lower amongst younger people. And I think there's a couple of issues there. Younger people have had a lot of disruptions in the last sort of 12 months in terms of study, moving into the workforce, their travel plans. And more of them have reported that their financial situation has deteriorated. You know, they're less likely to participate in the housing boom. It's been good for people that own houses, but not so good if you don't have a house and you're trying to get on the ladder. Regional differences as well, Mike. Low in Auckland, Canterbury and Bay of Plenty. And the most upbeat place is where? Now, I'll give you one guess.
Capital.
The capital. Why is that?
Public servants.
Well, I don't want to go there. But you know, less impacted by tourism, you could say. You could say it's the centre of the civil service in New Zealand. That is a recession-resistant sector. But anyway, what does it mean? I think we're poised at a bit of a juncture, Mike. I think momentum is slipping. We're feeling the impact of the loss of two central pillars in our economy. We're not importing people anymore, and we're not importing tourists. But could this sort of tentative opening of the border tip us back into growth? That's the question.
The tentative opening of the border. There's a date, Andrew. A date for a date.
Yeah, but it's all about confidence, Mike.
Okay, so what do you make of the airline, the tourism industry, as they sit waiting for another series of weeks?
Well, yeah, look, we've got this announcement of the Trans-Tasman Bustle on the 6th. And what's the question with vaccination? I'm assuming you don't need to be vaccinated if you want to go
Australia.
To Australia.
No, of course not. No. They haven't rolled that out yet.
But this business of travelling at your own risk, now I think that will deter a certain amount of New Zealand leisure and business travellers because there's this question of insurance. You won't get it for some outcomes. I mean, you'll get people travelling to see their family, but I think some people will be put off by this travel at your own risk thing. But I think it will be positive for those regions more sensitive to tourism, sort of Rotorua, Queenstown, and Auckland, remember. Auckland is sensitive to tourism. What travelled under the radar a little bit yesterday, Mike, was more support for the airline industry. So we've had a thing called the International Air Freight Capacity Scheme, which helped assisted freight. So you get the planes, actually travelling out of New Zealand with freight, with exports, and of course they can bring New Zealanders back. That was due to end in April. It's been replaced by the Maintaining International Air Connectivity Scheme, which throws, I think, about another $170 million into that scheme to help freight go. That'll run until October. So that went under the radar a little bit yesterday, but that's good news for the for export travel air freight sector.
Yes, it is. What are the numbers?
The Dow Jones, 32,730, up 103 points, 0.32%. The S&P 500, 3,943, up 30 points, 0.77%. The NASDAQ bouncing back, 1.54%, up 13,418. On the other offshore markets, the FTSE 100 gained 17, 6,726. The Nikkei took a bit of a hit yesterday, down 617 points. That's around 2%. 29174, Shanghai Composite, 3443, up 39. The ASX 200 gained 44 yesterday, closing at 6752. Unfortunately, the NZX 50 had a weak day yesterday, down 1.49%, 186 points, 12,329 on the currencies. On the wholesale markets against the US, 0.7175, 0.9260 Aussie, 0.6011 Euro, 0.5176 quid, 78 Japanese yen, gold $1,739.21. Brent crude, lower, Mike, $64.27.
I'll take it. Have a good day. See you tomorrow. Appreciate it. Andrew Kelleher, jmiwealth.co.nz.